Tiffany Lankus, welcome back to Press Pass. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Thanks for having me.
We left off on receivership last time, and some new developments have occurred. Now, State Education Commissioner Mary Ellen Elia has actually expanded it to 15 city schools. What does this mean?
So what this means is cash can now go into those 15 plus the 5 that were originally ruled on. And he can start making changes without negotiating them with the teachers union. So far, he's talked about expanding the school day, extending the school year, requiring more teacher training, and possibly making some staff changes down the line.
So it went from the 5 schools to additional 15?
Right. And there's actually another 5. It has to kind of do with the state timelines and when approvals come in for plans. But there's another 5 that I think probably in the new year we can expect Cash will ask for similar powers. And I think, as we've seen now twice, it seems more likely than not that she will allow him to make changes at those schools as well.
It was a lengthy review that she issued, some 90 pages long. Many of the changes regard school day, longer school year, teacher training.
You know, what Elia and what Cash have said about this is they're maintaining that, you know, they feel having the ability to do things like this are necessary to improve education for students and improve these schools. You know, obviously, we've talked about it. NYSED is going to challenge this in court. They're in the process of putting together a lawsuit. This ruling probably will give them some more ammo for when they file that. I'm expecting in the next couple weeks. You know, and what their argument is basically is that you can't allow a state commissioner to come in and give someone like a superintendent power to just toss aside collective bargaining agreements, because we do have laws in the state that govern negotiations. And there is, you know, a pretty obvious contradiction between this receivership law and the state's Taylor law. And, you know, unless Albany handles that when they resume their session, this will probably get decided in a court.
Buffalo Teacher Federation President Phil Remore really not surprised by this.
You know, and I don't think anybody really was. Same thing when she originally ruled on the first 5 schools back in November. Everything she has said and done that's been directed at Buffalo since she took over in July, the message is very clear. Fix your schools or I will. So I think just from kind of the warning she's issued to the district, these new powers that she has, her background as a reform agent in Florida, you know, the stars kind of align. And I think people have a pretty clear indication where she's taking this.
You wrote in your article about New York City schools, because they have many in receivership as well. What is the comparison between New York City and Buffalo when it comes to that?
Well, New York City is obviously a much larger district. So, you know, that they have more schools is somewhat a function of student population. It's interesting, though, because even Buffalo is a similar size district to Rochester, and I think we have twice as many schools in receivership. You know, some of that, I think, has to do with how the district has handled these schools and these plans in the past. Rochester, it was not unusual to be closing schools, phasing schools out. We've seen here, obviously, when the board has more recently attempted to do that, there's been a lot of public pushback. Some of these schools, you know, as the whole kind of point of this law is these are schools that have been on these lists for years and years and years and are still struggling to show any kind of improvement, at least based on the measures that, you know, the state is looking at.
In those 15 additional schools, have you been able to identify what schools those are right now?
There's a pretty lengthy list. You know, it's basically all the schools that have been kicked around on this receivership. Waterfront, I know, is one of them. Build, I think, is on the second round. You know, we have the list on the Buffalo News website. But especially once we get up to that 25, I mean, you're really talking about half of the district. And, you know, it's obviously not your City Honors, not your Olmsted, not your Emerson. So, you know, and one thing that the law, if the law remains as it is right now, at some point the commissioner can step in and deem any school a struggling school and put them on this receivership list. So, you know, depending on what happens at those schools and how effective Cash can be in turning those schools around, you know, the door seems wide open. The other thing that's interesting, and I spoke with her a few weeks ago and she noted this, is the new federal legislation, which significantly kind of backs off the federal government's role in education and gives a lot more power to states in developing accountability systems and determining how it's identifying these struggling schools. Which I'm sure if it were up to Elia, she might design a very, you know, a tougher system that that reflected more of, I think, a reform priority. But, you know, anything she wants to do is going to have to go through the Board of Regents and possibly the state legislator. So I think in the new year, we're going to see a little bit of this tug of war between the state now does have these powers to essentially reinvent its accountability system. But that doesn't necessarily mean just Elia. That means also the Board of Regents, which is very heavily influenced now by NYSED and Albany. So it's going to be an interesting year ahead to see kind of where these, how these forces fall on what side of the aisle.
And even though we haven't heard specifically from a filing from the unions just yet, does this mean that Cash can walk in this week and begin some work on this and continue to plow ahead?
He seems pretty intent. You know, in the conversations I've had with him, and I've brought up the fact that this is probably going to end up in court, he seems intent to just keep marching forward and making changes that he's allowed to make until someone stops him. That said, I think he's realized and he's indicated recently that he doesn't expect to make some of these changes as quickly as he originally thought. You know, for example, extending the school day. There's a lot of logistical things that go into that. And we're into January now. The school year's pretty much half over. I think the priority was originally those first five schools. But I think, you know, what we'll see in the next 6 months is probably planning to roll these things out in the next school year. And so if nothing, you know, if something does not pop up before then that stops them from making these changes, I think we can expect to see some differences in the schools next year.
Tiffany Lankus, thank you so much.
Yep, thanks for having me.